Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Monday, June 18th. It is NBA Draft Week, and we are going to bring you a ton of information regarding this week's NBA Draft. We're going to talk about the Indiana Pacers, where they're going to be looking in the draft this week. And also, we'll be talking a little bit of the Kawhi Leonard situation going on down in San Antonio. Jonathan Birdsong will join us once again, our NBA guru. He will join us as we talk the NBA draft and Pacers. We said last week during our show recapping the NBA finals that we were going to dive right into the NBA draft. So we are going to do that for you today. Once we get Jonathan called in here shortly, a couple things from this past weekend, the U.S. Open, Brooks Koepka winning his back-to-back U.S. Open titles, very hard course at Shinnecock Hills. It was very tough course on Saturday. The USGA does what they want with the rules, and then they tended it over, and enough of the players bitched and moaned, and they made the course pretty easy on Sunday. But it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch Saturday, too, Phil Mickelson and everybody blow up. So listening to all their comments. But Brooks Koepka winning this week. We dive right into the NBA draft. So I think we got Jonathan here on the line. Let's take a look. Jonathan, my man, how are we?
How we doing, Brandon?
Good, good. Another week. Here we go. NBA draft. We're less than, what, 4 days away?
Yep. Thursday night.
Thursday night. We've had say what?
Well, you know, yeah, the draft brings about the first step and change seemingly for the new season. So I imagine it won't be anything less than, like, stellar, where we'll see a bunch of player movement from team to team.
Yeah, I agree. I kept going back and forth on when I did my mock draft on Friday night. I made my picks for the first round, and I'm like, well, how many of these are going to be traded, end up being traded or moved around? I think I'm going to go ahead and call. There's going to be about five trades on draft night that will be done. And we may even get one here. We might get one Wednesday night, I think, as early as Wednesday night. So, they came out today. Who was it? I seen somebody posted that the Cavaliers are opened up to shop their number 8 pick for some veteran presence.
I think that was pretty much no brainer. That's a veteran led squad. I'm assuming Cavaliers, they're hoping LeBron stays or want him to stay. And like most of the time, unless you're unless you're like a heads and heels over number one, number two, like slam dunk lottery pick where you know you're going to be there, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be an all-star in the next 2 or 3 years. Veterans don't like playing with rookies, especially 18 to 19-year-old guys. They just don't.
Right. I agree. I was looking at my list here for, and you say this start pretty much is the start to the new season, the kind of look ahead with everything. I think the Lakers themselves are going to have a lot to tell with this draft. If that second round pick comes in for the Lakers, if they don't draft LiAngelo Ball, I think it's a sign. Well, no, listen, I think it's a sign that Lonzo's on his way out and they are fully in the LeBron sweepstakes. Because I really don't think LeBron and Lonzo and his dad, I don't think that's all going to gel together. If the Lakers really truly want LeBron,
if the Lakers want to be serious, then yeah, they can't have, you know, their dad. They can't have the dad, you know, and his Ringling Brothers, Brogdon Bailey self voice, you know what I'm saying, trying to stir up the pot. I don't foresee Ball being there too much longer if they are serious about getting LeBron James. I definitely don't think they're serious about. I really don't. I don't think about what's his name, LiAngelo. I don't.
LiAngelo.
Michelangelo. Is he a Ninja Turtle? He's one of the Ninja Turtles. I don't know. But no. I don't think he. I mean, he was. All the scouts didn't have him. All the NCAA scouts, much less the NBA scouts, said he was a 4-year player type. So that after 4 years, maybe he would get drafted. Maybe. Like, I've seen half a dozen mock drafts in the last 2 years, and his name was never on any of them. Now, Little Brother was, actually, to be honest with you, it's funny, but his name was never on anybody's.
The younger brother's name? Is it Jello, or what's the?
Oh, man. Don't give me the line, man. I mean, we're coming with Lonzo Ball. It's a lot of hype that comes along with the dad. LeBlanc. I get it that you want to draw attention to yourself, and you want to draw media attention to yourself, and you commercialize yourself and sell yourself out to the masses and generate as much money as you can. But, like, clearly the clear-cut Ball that has the talent is Lonzo. And,
right.
At this point, even ESPN kind of gave up on him because I kept track of, like, what they did over when they went over to the EuroLeague or whatever. And, like, those guys, that's like two steps up from what I'm told. If you believe what's the guy, Fran. If you believe him, I can't remember his last name right now.
Francella. Francella, or whatever it is.
I didn't want to mess up his last name. You really, Fran, that's a two-step up from NCAA tournament. Like, those guys are pros who are either actually, you know what I'm saying, most of the American guys over there are trying to get back over here into an NBA league, you know what I'm saying, or they're top-level league. They didn't even play the top level. They didn't even play in one of the A leagues. So
right.
You can't dominate the I'm not saying it was kindergarten league they were playing in, but if you can't even dominate that league that they were playing in, then, you know, the odds of you making an NBA roster, much less a G League roster, is slim to none.
Yeah, I agree. We're sitting there. Maybe they'll sign him if he doesn't get drafted, which I don't plan on him getting drafted. I didn't have him in my listing, but maybe he'll sign a contract, a training camp thing with the Lakers, and they can quietly just get rid of him once the training camps are over. As I said earlier about the trades, the Plain Dealer reporting that the Cavs are seeking some proven veterans to move up, looking to move into the draft a little bit more and get rid of that number 8 pick to try to keep LeBron. Obviously, they've reached out to the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard. They've also reached out to the Charlotte Hornets regarding Kemba Walker, of another potential target. I don't know. I don't even know if adding Kemba would be enticing enough for LeBron.
I would assume any trade talks would probably always, as far as the cast is concerned, would probably involve that pick and probably Kevin Love's contract, which I do believe expires after next season. But that's technically not enough to get Kawhi Leonard to get into a Cleveland uniform. Kawhi Leonard has said he wants to play in L.A., so he's kind of, showing his poker face as it is. And I really assume, Brandon, that it's going to be the Spurs would send him to somewhere like how the Pacers did with Paul George. We're going to send you to where we want to send you to, and it's going to be like a year for him to get to L.A. PJ, I listened to PJ on somebody's show, PJ Carlissimo, and he may not be necessarily a good NBA coach, but he's a good mind still, right? And PJ said, Kuzman's a good, as far as like what, people in fantasy in barbershops and in chat rooms and whatnot say that, Lakers could just trade Kuzman and Ingram to get Kawhi Leonard. And that's technically, like I said, PJ said that's not enough. And then when he put the numbers together and said, what Kawhi Leonard represents, Kawhi Leonard's the championship level basketball player who at one point, if you had to stack 1 through 10, he was probably, 3A or 3B. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's not LeBron. He's not Kevin Durant. Is he as important to a basketball team as maybe Steph? Absolutely. You could definitely say yes. So
right.
If you're telling me I'm going to get Kyle Kuzman and Ingram back in return, yeah. If I'm just trying to get Kawhi, yeah, if I'm trying to get the third best.
Right.
But
my concern is the Lakers, they don't want to go – or not the Lakers, excuse me, the Spurs. I don't see them getting rid of Kawhi and letting the Lakers build another super team out in the West. Hell, you already got to deal with Houston and you already got to deal with Golden State. Why build another one out in L.A. when you're giving them the first piece with Kawhi Leonard?
Well, it's funny that you say that because actually there's also another, hot off the press, is that Rudy Gay opted out of his deal. So seemingly there's another super team possibly on the horizon. I see what you're saying. They're not gonna give, you know, Memphis long 100 years ago, right? Gave Paul Gasol away for nothing, seemingly. And I don't foresee that, you know, I don't foresee with Popovich, you know what I'm saying? San Antonio is gonna be in a different situation next year and the following year, coming up. That if not a full rebuild, then I know we've never seen it before, right? Well, we have. We have seen San Antonio kind of be in a rebuild mode where they kind of deactivated David Robinson for like
right.
a half a season or so. But I think they're going – I think it's nearing to like full rebuild here where they'll probably end up trading Kawhi to wherever they want him to go to. And then they'll end up probably finding a taker for Aldridge as well.
I agree. That's why I think on Wednesday night or early Thursday we have our first trade. And I think in my opinion, it involves Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to go in with a hot take on this. I think they don't want to trade him to the Lakers because why build another super team in the West when you're just hurting your chances to do it. So what can the Spurs do to build themselves? If we're doing a full rebuild, well, pretty much a rebuild for LA, cause you've got an aging Tony Parker, an aging Manu Ginobili, Danny Green. Danny Green's probably still your solid piece you have, but I personally think they find a way, they make it work with Phoenix, and they trade Kawhi Leonard to Phoenix for that 1 year, and they take that number one pick from Phoenix, and then that's where they go with Ayton from Arizona. My personal opinion, my hot take is I think Thursday night, Kawhi Leonard is a Sun, and that number one pick it goes to the Spurs.
Wow. Phoenix. I really didn't think about Phoenix when I wrote, but I jotted down in my notes. I had a lot of teams besides me. I had Boston, Minnesota, and
Knicks.
And Boston, Minnesota, and Toronto because those are teams that had depth and young talent. If they traded for Kawhi Leonard and he, you know, didn't like Toronto, if he didn't like Minnesota, then they wouldn't be that bad in the 2019 season because they still have a core part of their team left. Or even Boston because basically Kawhi would be bringing him in to help them get over the hump, as it were. There's been trades before where the core of a team got good out of Miami. Back in the day, traded like Odom and Brian Grant and Caron Butler to get Shaq, which was the year before they were like number four seed team in the East. You know,
right?
And then you know, you get Shaq, and then boom, bam, you're the instant NBA champion. I don't think Kawhi Leonard if you put Kawhi Leonard on Boston Celtics, and now depending on who they give up, you put Kawhi Leonard on Boston Celtics, they win the East. Okay, if you put Kawhi Leonard on the Toronto Raptors, it makes the Toronto Raptors real interesting, now, doesn't it? But for him to go to Phoenix, the answer to give you the response to your question, him to go to Phoenix, man, I don't know. Dude. Phoenix is seemingly tied to the hip with Ayton, and people are so high on Ayton to like compare him to as much as that he has a skill set of, when I hear names like Olajuwon and Kemp.
Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing's what I heard today about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so, my question with Ayton is, where were you? Why wasn't like you can see he's going to be a great player, right, individually, but like where did Arizona end up? They made the tournament, right, but where did they end up even in conference play? You know, what I mean, I don't even think they were top. Well, they might have been top three. I'm pretty sure they didn't win the Pac-12. But
no.
Where were they at? Where was it, you know, if you was that dominant, why did you end up losing to Oregon? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or hell, even UMBC Baltimore,
well,
the Golden Retrievers.
true enough, yeah, when they got to the tournament. So, and, of course, you know, the NCAA game and the NBA game is a little bit different. But I give it a 5% chance.
Okay.
Because, you know what, Phoenix at this point, they're happy losers. They're seemingly happy to stay in the lottery. So if they can't sell, if they get Kawhi, and they can't make him happy in the Valley of the Sun, if they lose him for, you know what I mean, they lose him. I would assume they would also get some other assets from some insurance from the Spurs. Because I could see Popovich and that guy. Then you wouldn't necessarily have to trade Aldridge, and then you know Popovich, and then he could have another Twin Tower situation, maybe. You know, so would I say five? I'll raise it up 15% that might happen. I could see Kawhi Leonard going to Phoenix.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting, but the Lakers are putting themselves right in the position they were with Paul George. You have a player that's saying that you want to go here and has 1 year left in this contract. I don't see, you know, San Antonio going to, San Antonio's going to have to look to trade him, because the Lakers, why would you want to trade for him? I mean, the fact that you know this player is going to have a good chance, and now you see reports today about Paul George. Well, is he going to go to L.A.? We're not 100% sure. If I was the Lakers, I wouldn't mortgage it. If you think you can get Kawhi next year and you can spend the money this year on LeBron, say, hey, you know what, Kawhi, either that or we'll get you at the All-Star break. The Spurs are the ones that should be panicking, kind of like we were at this point last year, because it was 1 year ago today that they broke the news that Paul George has said he wants out of Indiana. It was all over my time hop today and all my tweets. 1 year ago today, Paul George said it, and I said, this is where the panic begins. And then obviously the following week, on the 30th, the night before free agency started, he was traded. You know, San Antonio now has to be looking, what are we going to do with our squad? You mentioned Toronto. Toronto is looking to move any piece, which I think is crazy to move up into the draft for this guy from Kentucky, the point guard. I think even if you draft the dude from the point guard from Kentucky, I still think, you know, Lowry and DeRozan and all and Valachun, I still think they're all better than this kid. I think he's overrated.
Well, that Kentucky squad, I think when you think about overrated, you're thinking about Diallo, and you're thinking about, remember, Brandon, they're all 18, 19 years old. And I'm not about to go on a rant about Calipari not being a great coach. I think he's a good coach. But he kind of lets guys play. I think he just lets guys play their own little game and try to figure out. And I think that's what he did with it. I'm not going to say Knox is overrated at all. I just think Knox is young. And then by the time Knox turns 25, he might be somewhere between, not head-wise, Michael Beasley. Remember the Michael Beasley we wanted to play right? He might be somewhere in that line where he could play either four position and he's got a shot out of this world. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
No, the point guard.
Gilgeous Alexander is his name.
Yeah, he's got a tongue twister of a name. Right?
Yeah.
His shot ain't pretty, right? But neither was Westbrook's coming out of UCLA either. And this kid's got athleticism and poise, kind of like Westbrook. Maybe not necessarily the intensity. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But he's got athleticism and poise like Westbrook. I don't really foresee him going in the top five, six of the draft either. I think he's the bottom half of the lottery. So, like, somewhere in between 10 and 12, that's probably where he'll go. This whole lottery, in fact, is more so, especially when you talk about somebody like Michael Porter. I'm not trying to jump ahead, but Porter is somebody, and a lot of guys are in this draft, or somebody like you'll want to hold and wait, like how the Sixers kind of did with it, Joel Embiid. They didn't rush it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what this draft is kind of about. Well, the top part of this draft is about. That's how I look at it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's a crapshoot, because besides a few players there, how many actually are game changers compared to what you have?
Not game changers today. I would say not game changers today.
Correct. You know, back in the day, now, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no Tim Duncan in this draft. Like, day one, boom, he's going to be an all-star by February 14th. You know what I mean? There's no LeBron in this draft. There's no Shaq in this draft, you know?
Right.
But 3 years from Knox, like I say, I think Knox is the guy. I think 3 years from now, Aiden looks like David Robinson. I think 3 years from now, even Bagley looks somewhere like Chris Bosh. You know what I mean? I think Bagley can probably contribute. You know how hard it is? I talked to a coach, an assistant coach about the Big Ten. He said, dude, you know how hard it is to be player of the year in the ACC, to average a double-double? A lot of guys would take a lot of assistant coaches that I talk to would take Bagley number one. But, I, you know, Aiden is, you know, killer and thriller. So that's,
right.
I think he's going to be number one, period.
Hell, you might as well start predicting for 8 years from now when Bronny James, you better start getting it ready now. Go get Bronny James. He's going to be a freak. He was here in Indianapolis this past weekend for a tournament. And my God, the video highlights I saw, he was dominating people all over that court. I had a buddy tell me of mine that he saw Mrs. James and Bronny staying at their hotel on the outskirts of Indianapolis. And he was waiting for the king to make his appearance here through the city. So I wanted to start the rumor. Well, hell, if Bronny James is here playing the AAU tournament, that means he's coming to Indiana. So,
why not Purdue? But, why not Butler?
I know, right? those coaches better have been there watching him. But you know, by that time, that one and done rule is going to be all the over with. So Bronny James ain't going to be in the college. I'm going to play before we dive deep into the draft. Because I'm not finished with the Kawhi Leonard talk yet. I'm going to play. Hopefully you can hear this on your end. It's about a minute long rant that was this morning on the Stephen A. Smith, your boy, his show, talking about Kawhi Leonard. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now, and then we're going to listen to it, and then we'll kind of recap that. I want your thoughts on what he's saying here, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, here we go.
Kawhi Leonard, if you're listening, here's the deal. Do me a favor. Stop. Just stop it. You want to go to Los Angeles? That's it. I am so sick and tired of folks walking around. I mean, just no heart. No heart. What are you scared about? What are you scared about? Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to be in San Antonio anymore. The Riverwalk is not enough for him. He prefers Rodeo and Melrose and Wilshire and Venice Beach. That's what he prefers. LA Live. Downtown. Staples Center. That's what he prefers. He doesn't care that there's no state income taxes in Texas. He wants out because he wants to be in L.A. You don't have to sit up there and come up with excuses. Oh, they were upset at me because I went and got a second opinion. They're paying you $20 million and you played 9 games. You should be upset at you. So why couldn't they be? Stop it.
Stephen A. needs to open up.
Well, there we go. Stephen A. telling Kawhi, stop it. Did you hear it on your end? This was testing to see if you did.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your thoughts on that?
What you get from Stephen A. is, you know, it's kind of the truth, you know, through a megaphone, right? So a lot of guys are, I won't say jealous, envious of how Kevin Durant has all of a sudden turned into, you know, and the Golden State Warriors, for that matter, have all of a sudden turned into, you know, saying the greatest team of all time or whatnot, and how I won't say easy. I'm sure because they train, they practice, and all this. But you know how, you know what? Look how all the accolades, all the media attention that comes to them. So, and in San Antonio, that's not how they've ever operated. You know, David Robinson ain't said a peak. Tim Duncan never said a peak. Miles Ginobili, if he said a peak, he said it in Spanish, right? Or he said
right.
It in Portuguese, right? You know. Tony Parker never said a peak. You know, it's never. We all know that they had great players, but it was never. They truly epitomized the. There's no I in team. It's just let's go out here and win games. Let's go out here and win championships. That's what they. Let's go out here and compete. So, seemingly from what Stephen A. is saying, like, dude, you run away from the San Antonio Spurs? Are you serious? I like you know, unless if we're not talking like by comparison. Like a lot of times, I know guys go to. The Belichick system, and they can't read the playbook or can't understand it, or they have a hard time fitting into his system. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it doesn't all necessarily work out. You know, it's, you know, football and basketball is kind of apples and oranges. But, like, who wouldn't want to play for the Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs? You know what I mean? They built up the city. They built up the, you know what I'm saying, the arena. They have an AT&T Center, right, I do believe. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like playing in San Antonio in 1988 where, you know, it was a small market team. You know what I'm saying? And we all know the world is a little bit bigger than – well, the NBA world is a little bit bigger than you know, small market, big market teams. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of an excuse, my personal opinion, on where guys want to play at. So, Mr. Kawhi's church mouse, Kawhi Leonard, wants to go play for L.A.? Are you serious? So, good luck. But – He wants to go there to the LA market to go play with LeBron or go play with Paul George, and in that way you don't have to. They'll do all the talking. because LeBron James has a press conference after, you know, after seemingly after every practice, after every game, right? So,
right.
But you know, if Kawhi gets his wish, the LA market, I mean, they'll find you. You know, not just the regular NBA press, the TMZs of the world, and everybody else will find you and get up all in your business. So, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I agree. You know, two things. Number one, I think even with Kawhi and Paul George and LeBron going to LA, I still think they're at most the second best team in the West. Give me Golden State still, regardless of how
you would want to see the rest of the roster. But I
correct.
I would take them three against the Warriors five. I really would. But I would want to see.
Wow! Wow! I did not expect to hear that.
Brandon, remember. They, LeBron James beat the 72-9 Warriors, correct?
Correct.
Thanks
to Kyrie Irving hitting a three-pointer.
Okay, well, LeBron with a high-level running.
Draymond suspension.
Sure. I'll give you all that. But LeBron,
you know, I'm a big LeBron fan. So, but I'm even saying this: it took a lot for them to knock out. It wasn't just like LeBron played well enough for it.
Listen, I'm just saying, even the older LeBron James, you put him with two young dogs like Paul George and maybe Kawhi Leonard next year or whatever, however it gets worked out, then I think it's game set. Houston can hang it up, right? you can put them back in the back. But I take LeBron and two elites against Golden State best. I would.
Okay.
But again, I have to see what the reserves look like as well, because let's be honest, the Golden State Warriors, it's realistically. Now the starting five is crazy, right? But so are the reserves. The reserves are just as good, because they're all season veterans as well. You know what I mean? If not former All Stars, ring chasing David West are.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. Like I said, you know, LeBron's the best player in the world currently in this era, right now going on. But I do want to see what bench they have. One thing that keeps me right now, it's Luke Walton, but we'll see. Hell, he could get traded. Who knows? I still have some sleepless nights thinking about what an 8-year run we could have currently right now. If Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were on the same team here in Indiana, the night that we traded Kawhi to, which I think is funny, because yesterday the San Antonio Spurs tweeted out on this day 7 years ago, we drafted with the 15th pick or so, and it showed the Kawhi Leonard video with the Pacers drafting them, and the Spurs. I think it's very convenient the Spurs sent that out through a tweet and said, "Hey, Kawhi, you could have been on the Pacers, and look how bad they were then," or such. But we came to here, you came to San Antonio, and you won a title with us, and we didn't have to do that. I sit there, I wonder sometimes if Paul and Kawhi both would have still been on the Pacers, what it could have been. I think we definitely could have gone over the hump in the East over the LeBron teams, because if we ever pushed them to game seven, you know, all we needed was that one extra score to do it. So there's plenty of times I had those sleepless nights wondering what the hell it could have been here in Indiana.
Larry Legend got suckered.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, if you had to say there's one last enforcer left in the NBA, kind of like a Kendrick Perkins type, and so who would you say would be?
One last enforcer. Kind of like a Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah.
And
I didn't even know this guy was in the league, who I picked.
You talking about still play for Miami. He's like 100 years old, literally.
Udonis Haslam. I didn't even know this kid was still in the league. I thought he was gone.
Patrick does a pretty good job. Patrick Rivers does a pretty good job from a wing standpoint, because he isn't afraid to, you know, he isn't afraid to foul guys and to play hard and get up in them. Of course, Draymond, you know what I mean? He plays He plays hard. Patrick Beverly, Draymond Green, they're the last I know it's terrible. I remember back in the 90s and 80s, I felt like it, you know, there was probably one on every team.
Right.
But yeah, those two.
I think Tony Allen is still one.
Is he still alive?
I saw him on the NBA TV a couple weeks ago. They were recapping one of the finals games, and he's not retired. He said he's still waiting for another phone call. So, hell, I'd take him for his defensive. I'm sure he can still play a little bit of defense.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
Tony Allen played some of the best defense I've ever seen on at the wing position on Kobe Bryant and LeBron. And I don't think he gets enough credit for. I know he played on those Boston teams. I don't think he gets enough credit because, of course, he didn't score. Oh my God, his free throw shooting was horrible. He might average a little bit better when he got to Memphis, but I don't think he ever averaged, you know what I'm saying, on a championship team more than 11 or 12 points. But he played some of the best defense I've ever seen on Kobe Bryant with the new rules, right? On Kobe Bryant and LeBron, like, to the point that he irritated and frustrated him, you know what I mean? Tied him up like that. But I don't know. Tony Allen, I might want Tony Allen as my defensive coach now. not necessarily playing.
Right. Okay. We've got the NBA draft on Thursday night.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's pretty much a slam dunk that Ayton is going to go number one. He'll go number one to Phoenix, or he'll go number one to the Spurs, in my opinion.
Yep.
Now, Memphis at number two. I think they're an interesting option because I think they could trade their pick themselves. Sacramento. I got switched up on my lineup here. I think Sacramento could.
I don't trust Bobby Divac, the general manager. He don't know how, he knows how to pick out the good talent, but he doesn't know how to make the talent work for his team.
Is he going to pick Luka? Luka Doncic? He could bring him over. I'm sure he's seen him play over there in Europe.
You just picked Fox last year. Can Fox and Luka play? I don't know. Can Doncic play? I would take Bagley. I got Bagley down as number two.
Yeah, that's what in my mock draft, I've got Ayton number one. I've got Bagley number two going to the Kings. Number three, I've got Mo Bamba. But he reminds me, obviously, from his height and such, of a Joel Embiid. But I think he's a lot higher of a – I think he has more of a talent of Miles Turner than he does of a Joel Embiid type.
I'll give you that. Absolutely. It would be real hard if I was general manager and worked out Bamba and Wendell Carter and Luka and not take him at pick three. Like Atlanta, but again, Atlanta's already signed up and gave him the reins to Rajon Rondo 2.0 in what's his guy? Oh my God, what's his name? With the hair.
Schroeder.
They've already kind of given the reins to now. Like, I mean, would they be willing to deal him? You know what I mean? To see if him and Luka could play together. I'm not high on Trae Young at all. Not at all. Not in the top 10.
I'm not either.
I got him at seven.
I got him going to Chicago. They need a point guard.
They've got Chris Dunn.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta have somebody else. You gotta have a backup. You know, I'm surprised. I kept going back and forth. Mentally, I think Colin Sexton is better than Trae Young. I have a point guard, and I got Sexton going.
I got him going
10.
I like Sexton as a penetrator. I don't necessarily trust Sexton's shot. But I'm with you on that. Trae Young said something coming out of like his last game after they got bounced out of the tournament, and they set him up for an interview and they asked him, pitched him a question about. And he said how frustrating it was because teams, you know, saying, you know, after the first four or five games at Oklahoma, how they keyed in on it, sent double teams at him, and how he was frustrated. I'm like, dude, if you're frustrated, a double team, an NCAA double team, dude, what are you going to do when you get to the NBA, dude? You're talking about, you know what I mean? So I just don't – I got a bunch of other guys ahead of him. I really do. Go ahead.
Give me your top 10. Let's hear your top 10 for who you got going. Let's see what compares to mine.
I got Ayton. Bagley, the Euro, Bamba,
okay.
Jackson, Wendell Carter, Bridges from Villanova. And you can swap Bridges and Knox. It would pick your poison on there. Bridges and Knox. And then I even got I got Porter just because somebody will trust the process. Somebody will trust the process.
I was curious where you had Porter because I've got him a little higher on my list.
Somebody will trust the process of stashing. You got to think. This is how I think. Like, you know, a guy's like, I mean, and he was injured, and he's probably still, and seemingly, like, you hear reports about different things. He's seemingly still dealing with some of those injuries, but, like, he's not going to be injured forever, right?
We
hope not. And, you know, it's when he becomes fully healed, sort of like Embiid became fully healed, then all of a sudden becomes this monster. Then every general manager who didn't pick him is looking like a fool. Because now he's turned into, you know, something special. So I think somebody picks him in the top 10 and just basically either de-leagues him or stashes him at the end of the bench and just gives him rotation minutes until he becomes, you know what I'm saying, who he's quote-unquote destined to be.
Okay. Yeah, I've got –
his high school tape is unbelievable.
Yeah. They'll always say that. Like I said, I got 8-1 at the Suns. I got the Kings going with Bagley. The Hawks going with Mo Bamba. I've got the Grizzlies at number 4 with Michael Porter Jr. I got him going at number 4. I think the Grizzlies will take a shot. Jaren Jackson at 5 going to the Mavericks. I got Luka Doncic. I got him going with the Orlando at 6. I just see Orlando just – I mean, they've screwed up everything else over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's probably a good pick. That's probably good for him to go there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got Trae Young at 7 to the Bulls. Wendell Carter at 8 going to the Cavs, unless they trade their pick. The Cavs do need some more bulk up on that front line. I think Wendell Carter could add that for them. I've got the Knicks taking Mikal Bridges from Villanova at 9, and then obviously 10 pick for the Sixers, Colin Sexton. So we weren't too far off. We had the same players.
Right. You know, some people, some scouts are real high on Wendell Carter, saying like he could be like a tad bit better than Serge Ibaka. So yeah, for sure. That's why I mean I think what happens at Duke, what happened with him at Duke, all those guys knew they were one and done. So at certain points, certain times during the season, they played like it. Like, man, dude, I'm out of here anyway. You know what I mean? But like now. And that is kind of caution. It kind of gives you pause because that makes you question their motor and their drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he looks to be, you know, he can offense, he can rebound, he can shoot a little bit. We know he can rebound. We know he can finish, and he can shoot a little bit. And he's got a man child body, right? So I don't foresee Wendell Carter dropping out of the top 10 at all. Memphis. Probably, I know Memphis is also trying to move Chandler Parsons' contract, and I know there has been some rumored they're going to package because I don't think everybody. It's like NBA Draft Net. Sorry to plug them, right? But the NBA Draft Net had Jaren Jackson going to Memphis, but I don't think they're in love with. I don't think a lot of scouts are in love with Jaren Jackson's motor. Quote unquote, I've heard from other assistant coaches that he's soft. To be 6'10", he doesn't rebound. Well, he likes to shoot, but can defend on the wing, can defend inside, but just not as the dog as he should be on the boards.
Right.
There could be some movement with Memphis and Chandler Parsons.
Okay. I think the Clippers, just looking down the lineup a little bit at 12 and 13, I think they definitely trade one of their picks, if not two of them. Maybe they go out and get a big superstar with the trade. You know, Kawhi said he wanted to go to LA. Damn it. Maybe he means the Clippers.
I said this before, and we all know Jerry West to be the great persuader.
Right.
He can persuade just about anything. I guess once you start talking to him, you fall in love. And you know he's the logo, right? You just fall in love and say, "Yeah, okay, Jerry, sweet." So yeah, I see them packaging their pick and maybe another asset off their roster to go get something significant.
Yeah. You know, we've seen over the last couple weeks the Pacers have brought in several names. They've had about four different workouts, bringing in six players per workout. So they worked out about 24 guys, some first round talents, and then some second round talents that might be there at 50 for them. You know, as Jonathan, as I was doing the bottom half of that first round draft, pretty much from pick, pick 18 to 24. And Indiana's at 23, obviously. I saw a lot of names that could easily be Pacers. I don't think Indiana knows exactly who they want to take. I think they're just going to – they've got a list of names, and whoever falls to them at that point looks their best option. I think Pritchard goes with. I do not see the Pacers trading their draft pick this year either.
Yeah, I know I said something about them trading it. The whole Thad Young not opting into his contract does make things a little perplexing about who they pick. I want them to steer away from anything that says Gary Trent Jr. If the Gary Trent Jr. is on their list, they need to take him off immediately.
Correct.
If they have following names, Katabase Diop, Jalen Brunson, or Grayson Allen,
oof,
and they're there,
oof,
they better take Katabase Diop.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
If he isn't there, Katabase Diop, because he might go a little bit higher. I think he might. That dude's Big Ten Player of the Year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I can't remember any of the Big Ten Player of the Year not. It's I probably question on this. I can't remember any Big Ten Player of the Year not getting going first round. Okay, that's
right.
One. But he was Big Ten Player of the Year. If he's not there, then I go with Brunson. But then you bring up the question, do you really take three-point guards into the season? But, like, you know, for every knock on Jalen Brunson, it's like, dude, I hate to quote Dan Dockers, I really do. Jalen Brunson just wins. And, like, whoever they said it was better than him, he seemingly ends up playing better at the end of the game. He has a better stat line than that guy. So
right.
if they can't get Base Diop, then you get Jalen Brunson. If for some freakish chance Jalen Brunson's not there and KDB's not, Diop's not there, I'm not high on the kid from Maryland, the Huter kid.
Yeah.
Just because he's young and this is a vet squad and we already got TJ Leaf, we already got a young guy that we're trying to develop, so on and so forth. And then where did Maryland finish in the Big Ten? Where did Maryland finish in the regular season? Maryland finished like 9-10 in Big Ten season play. He had good stats. The team stunk. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't bring the Huter kid in here either.
Right.
I would.
I don't want another white boy. That's what we do. We draft white boys, and they don't pan out.
Listen. I know the world's probably going to poo-poo it, or the Hoosier world's probably going to poo-poo it, put a thumbs down. But if Grayson Allen, if Base Diop's not there, Jalen Brunson's not there, and Grayson Allen is, I don't have a problem with Grayson Allen at all.
I just don't. I love me some Grayson. I just don't think he's NBA ready. I don't think he's an NBA player. I really don't.
How long has Kyle Singler been playing in the NBA? I mean, he's stuck.
Okay, that's a whole different body type. That's a whole different style.
Hold on. What about the kid who played for Detroit last year? He was he played 2 years at Duke.
Luke Kennard?
Yeah, Kennard can play in the NBA.
I don't even think he played that well.
Oh, Kennard. Well, the first half of the season, he did play real rough. You better check his stats, bro. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm looking. He averaged 7 points a game.
Nobody
shot 41% from three. So okay, he played a little bit. I mean, he played 30, averaged about 30 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game. Yeah. So
on a team with no identity, and the coach they eventually fired.
Well, he got a lot more opportunity in that second half once they got Blake Griffin.
I mean,
that's gonna open things up a little bit.
I think Grayson Allen can play. We know he's not afraid to foul. No pun intended. We know he's not afraid to mix it up a little bit, and we know he can hit open shots, and that's what he would be asked to do if he's on any team, whether it be the Pacers or Brooklyn or whoever he ends up going to, at the bottom part of the draft, top part of the second round.
Right.
And Grayson Allen's hit shots, can he defend? Yes. So that's why I would take him.
And I love Duke. I like Grayson Allen. I don't see him a first round talent.
If the Spellman guy's there from Villanova, and we know, and we have feeling that Thaddeus Young's not going to resign, then you draft. I'm sorry, I'll give you another one. Spellman from Villanova.
Okay, I got him going 29 to Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's about 6'9". Somebody paint him in as a poor man's Al Horford. If he's a poor man's Al Horford, then we'll play poor man Al Horford for like a year or two or three,
yeah.
And then we'll figure that out.
Well,
those will be my guys. Go ahead.
Okay.
Who you got? All
right, so I'm going to kind of go in a little bit of an order for that. The guys I do like, I think Dante DiVincenzo, I think he'll be good. I don't think he'll make it to Indiana. I've got him going 19 to the Hawks. At 19, I don't think he'll make it.
Yeah, I had him going
to
us.
You talk about Kieta Bates-Diop. I like him a lot. I would love to have him as a Pacer. My only problem is, based on Pacers' previous draft times, the teams like the player that we want to get always gets drafted right before it's our pick. So at this point, I've got Bates-Diop going to Chicago Bulls on the 22nd pick.
Okay.
And then here's where it gets tricky for me for the Pacers at 23. I've got three players. If you take Bates-Diop out of there and DiVincenzo out of there, I've got three players that you could insert, and I think it'd be a good win for the draft for us on first round. For the pick, I actually have Jalen Brunson in there, point guard. So you've already said, you know, as Dockage says, the dude's just a winner. I don't think we could go wrong with him. I think the community, I think the state of Indiana would love having him here. A backup option, if somehow Brunson's gone before there, the Pacers do like Aaron Holiday, Drew Holiday's brother. He pretty much plays the same way. I've got Holiday going at 24 after the Pacers to Portland. I think he could fit in really well at Indiana. But the number one guy I've fallen in love with more this weekend, just reading about him and his combine stats and just about him as a general, and I want this guy in Indiana, is Jerome Robinson from Boston College. I think that guy, I would pick him over Jalen Brunson. He was one of the draft's top scorers. He hit 40% from three all season long. He can shoot outside. He can take it in. He's 6'5". Probably needs to put a little more weight on him, being at 190. But it's been said by, and you can take it for what it's worth from Jay Billis, that they believe that Jerome Robinson's the best two-way player in this draft. And I think he would fit in well here in Indiana.
So let me play a little devil advocate. If you're picking Jerome Robinson, that means we're not bringing in Harris from Brooklyn.
Correct.
Then where are we spending our money at?
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to spend it all this year. I think you can, spend a little, but then use most of it for next year's draft. I think next year's draft class is going to be a hell of a lot more, a lot better. Or excuse me, free agency class is going to be a lot better than what this year's looks like.
Okay, I was going to say, that's your draft I'm not in love with. So, yeah, that's a whole other conversation
for
another time.
But I do like Jerome Robinson, everything I've read from him about his style of play. I think he's Chris Brunson could probably get his shot more, but if you look at body size and be able to play off the ball and such, Jerome Robinson's that guy. And this dude, I just knew his by his name and just seen him when he played Duke during the season. So I didn't take much into him. Once I started filling out the draft here and I'm sitting there reading players' bios and their stats, this dude fits the Indiana Pacers market perfectly.
Gotcha.
I just, in my draft, I don't have him available for us. I have him going to 18 to the San Antonio Spurs. I think the Spurs are going to see something in him as well, which would be a great replacement for Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
You see what I'm doing? They're going to get rid of Kawhi. Right. You bring in Jerome Robinson. He can fill that void. He's not going to be the Kawhi. He may take some time, obviously, but that's why I don't think he'll be there for Indiana.
Right. That means we're stuck with Brunson. Not stuck, but that means Brunson kind of falling to our laps, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's kind of where I've got it.
which would if would spell, you know, minutes for Corey Joseph, would spell I always get brain freeze. Who's the starter? I should be ashamed of myself. I always want
Darren Collison.
Darren Collison. It could spell his knees because, you know, his knees kind of left him at the second half of the season. So
they've got Wendell Carter. They got Wendell Carter going to the Magic right now. They just showed on ESPN through this dude's mock. They got Wendell going number 6 to the Magic. Doncic going to Memphis.
Yeah, the Magic. Yeah, they need to shed some contracts down there as well because they got some bad front court play.
Yeah. Do you like Landry Shamet? Shamet from Landry Shamet from Wichita State.
Oh man, no.
You know, right? I think he goes to Boston. I really do. I think Boston takes him at 27.
Well, whoever Boston takes, they might be rolling the pick at this point.
I didn't realize the 76ers have
the
new
pick. The Sixers are going to pick. The Sixers are going to pick Knox.
You realize they have five or six picks in this draft?
Yeah, the Sixers need to.
They
pick
have
Knox
to make a trade. I mean, somebody's got to want to pick. The Sixers. They've got the 10th pick. They've got the 26th pick. They've got the 38th, 39th, and they got the 56th. You know, I mean.
Well, all those second rounds. They can make all those picks. You can mean like do deals where they just, you know, say extend their or turn them into first rounders like in the future or something like that. That's possible.
Yeah.
Do you have faith in this draft being that deep that the 40th best guy can make a roster?
Well, I mean, if you look at your top 40,
you've already poo-pooed Grayson Allen. I can't believe this. Like.
I think he's going to make it. I have him at 33 to the Mavericks. So I just don't have him in the first round. I just don't think he's that good for a first-round talent, especially for a Pacers at 23.
What about Grayson going to Golden State?
You know, I thought about that, but I thought about it geographically, and I think the Warriors, I think they've seen enough of D'Anthony Melton from USC that they want to go with him in that same position because – there's no consideration that Klay Thompson's going to stay after next year. Melton could come in, fill in that role right there, and start easily for him. I'm not saying Grayson Allen couldn't either, but.
I've seen two mocks that had them picking Gary Trent in the first round.
He fell
all the way down that. Listen, I don't think he's special like as far as dribbling or anything like that, but that kid can shoot off the wings just as good as anybody else. But, again, he's only like 18, 19 years old, so. He'd fit in that mold. He'd fit with that team, or at least what they like to do on offense anyway.
You said top 40. Could I see a top 40 guy as deep as it is starting or in rush spot? I do. With the Brooklyn Nets at number 40, I actually had Mo Wagner. I have Wagner from Michigan at number 40. Doesn't mean he's going to probably.
That's pretty bad with a guy who could have been a Final Four MVP had they won the game. Is like, you know, number 40 in the NBA draft. That's pretty good. So
yeah.
I think Wagner. I really thought Wagner would sneak up into the bottom half of the first round, but a lot of mocks got him going in the second round.
Yeah, a late pick who played a key role during the NCAA tournament this year. At 57, I have Malik Newman from Kansas going to Oklahoma City. I think the guy's his defense. He's hustles. You know, he can shoot sometimes. I mean, shit, he had a game against Duke. tearing him up. But then once he got to the Final Four, he can do crap. So, but I like the way Malik Newman played. I think he definitely can earn himself a roster spot. I looked at that second pick, that second round pick for the Pacers. John, I'm not even sure we keep that pick. I can see us trading it.
That's somewhere we trade out at.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw one mock right now that has us with Ray Spalding as the pick from Louisville. You know, as we're sitting here talking about mocks real quick, I went through five or six different mocks just to see who they thought. Hoops Hype had this Eli Okobo from France coming for the Pacers.
I'm so far off France. players, man, doesn't make no sense. unless your name's Tony Parker. The Knicks wasted a lottery pick on a French player last year. So
yeah,
you know, I'd say
he could. You know what? And that could be the guy that goes down in San Antonio with Porzingis. Frank Nicola or whatever, him and Porzingis down to San Antonio possibly. Josh Okogie, another last name, from Georgia Tech. CBS Sports has him going to Indiana. I saw one with DiVincenzo, another one with Okobo from France, and then obviously I saw one with Jalen Brunson. So it'll be interesting to see. I think I have it set, and then all of a sudden, like I said, there's gonna be five or six trades I think could just throw a whole monkey wrench into it. One thing that bothers me is for the last 4 years now, the Pacers have kept the same scouting department. And yes, Kevin Pritchett has said that, we've got one of the best scouting departments in the league, and these guys can do this. You know what? They hit a home run once. And that was at the trade with Victor Oladipo. But everybody knew Depot was going to be good. How good was the thing. And with Sabonis. But, Miles Turner, this has got to be a breakout year for Miles. I told you during the end of that season. This is do or die for him. Obviously, with this contract being up. I don't care if you posted a picture on Twitter today that says, you know what, I've got my summer body now. I've worked showing off your abs and stuff just like Depot did last year. You can be jacked in the weight room and all that and be skinny as can be. We just said he needs to put on more weight because he didn't get pushed around. Like,
right.
I don't care. I want to see you on the court doing something.
What do you want Miles Turner's stat line to be? You want him scoring like – you want him to be 18-8? Is that fair? 18-8 as a starter and not so many three-pointers?
Threes.
That would be
I would like 16-9 is what I would like. Just under a double-double.
Okay.
And I think it's impossible for him to do that if Thad Young leaves and we're just scraping parts together for that strong four. It's going to be Miles. Rebounds are going to be there for Miles. The thing is, he has to play smarter this year. He had a lot of dumb fouls this season. And there were several games where
not necessarily you hated Miles Turner regular season. You loved him playing against the Cavs because he showed up against the Cavs.
Yeah. There was plenty of times where I wondered where the hell he was at during the regular season. And, yes, he began last season because I went to the first game last year. He played really well there. And I was like, holy cow, he's got 20-some points. And I'm like, this guy, he's going to do it. This is the year. That second game, trying to think who they played in that second game. Second or third game they played Boston. He got hurt, and he wasn't the same player. I talked to one of the assistant coaches that was in the hotel, and this was in December. I said, be honest with me, is Miles playing hurt, isn't he? He goes, yeah. I mean, he hasn't been the same since. So I think that was a big step back for Miles, and I don't understand. I guess I don't see how it took him from January, February, and March. It took him 3 months to get to where we wanted him in April. Yes, seven games against Cleveland, but how would he have done against Boston? How would he have done against Joel Embiid in the playoffs? Yeah, we've seen the Pacers and Philly play towards the end of the season there, but shit, you can almost put anybody in there against like a Tristan Thompson or
they don't have the heavy hitters that
correct. Kevin Love pushed him around, and Kevin Love rather stand on a 3-point line than play inside. Which I think for Kevin Love, I'm gonna go ahead and call now if he could have a breakout season again next year. If he gets back, yes, if he gets away from LeBron James and it's just a focal point on Kevin Love, he's going to be that machine he was in Minnesota, I think. I think he still has it in him.
Well, if LeBron breaks everybody's heart Cleveland again, then they're going to trade Kevin Love and the pick.
Trade him to Indiana.
They're going to trade Kevin Love. I don't know about Kevin Love here. Kevin Love would improve. Then you're talking about swapping Miles Turner for Kevin Love.
Well, you already know I'd get rid of Miles Turner. Sorry, Miles.
You got Kevin Love on a 1-year rental. You got Kevin Love on basically like a 1-year rental. and hoping that he likes falling in love with Indiana. I don't know. Kevin Love might have stars in his eyes. He might want to venture to a bigger market. That's what I'd be cautious.
Right. So I think we've came to an agreement that we've got. Looks like Jalen Brunson is the consensus pick that we go with.
If Bede Diop is not there, which I know he potentially might not be, because I know the team's worked him out. I know the Wizards worked him out as well, which means they might be getting ready to get. They might be wanting to move. What's that guy's name?
Otto Porter Jr.
Otto Porter. Yeah, they might be wanting to move him. But if he's not there, then definitely Brunson for sure.
Yeah. So you've got, if Bates Diop's not there, going with Brunson. I've got Jerome Robinson. If he's not there, then we're going with Brunson. So, folks, you're hearing us now. Jalen Brunson is our pick. It's not our number one pick, but it's 1A. We got 1A, 1B, so right. We'll take 1B. And you said with the point guards, you know, I'm trying to think if you could even put in Corey Joseph. I mean, you say you're fighting minutes between Collison and Joe or and what's his face? Damn, I can't even think of his name right now. Kojo, Corey Joseph, and Darren Collison. You're gonna be fighting minutes there. Mm-hmm. So, where would Brunson fit in at there? On that second unit, you're gonna be fighting with minutes. I think he's too small to be playing shooting guard to fill in for. So to me, if they don't go Brunson, they go Robinson. At least Robinson can come in and be the second guy on the second unit that needs scoring. Lance can go back to the three.
You had the Pacers. Please don't tell me you got the Pacers out here like the Colts not spending no money though, man. The Colts. I'm sorry, I changed the narrative. The Colts going into the season said, "Oh, we got all this free agent money. We're gonna get this guy. We're gonna get that guy. They ain't got no guys." Or they didn't get any big names. So I see what you're saying going after, you know, saying the kid from Boston College.
You got a big name. You got a big name this year. You got the head coach.
That wasn't even their first guy.
That's fine.
They wanted New England.
Why do you need to spend all your money right now? Why not spend a little bit of money? And then save it for next year. And because you know the salary cap is going to go up more next year. So you're going to have even more room next year. Here's my bottom line, I guess. We can sit here and go compare apples to oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Within the next 5 years, I still don't see the Indiana Pacers ever winning a championship. So no matter who they spend their damn money on, they're still never going to get to an NBA championship in the next 5 years.
Could get to the championship. Not winning is a different thing because you're right. You have to spend money and ownership here around here like to spend money at a certain level and they don't want to go even close. They don't necessarily like going close to it. But put together a team that could get to the championship and then hopefully, you know, catch fire and get lucky or something like that. In the next five years, I could see.
Well, but the only way I see that, you're going to have to cover your ears for this, but for the only way the Pacers to get to the NBA Finals in the next 5 years is cover your ears is if Herb Simon's dead. That's the only way. That's the only way that we're going to get to the NBA Finals is if he's dead, we have a new ownership, and he wants to come in and spend money to be successful.
Yeah.
We're too content.
Yeah,
we are – as much as I'm a Pacer fan, the Pacers are too content.
That's what I believe. That's basically why Larry Bird left, because ownership didn't want to spend the money to get the elite level players to come here. That's what
right.
I believe.
Yeah, they'd rather just say, you know what, everybody's happy. We'll spend tickets, and it's your good old Pacers. You know what?
Let's make it to the first round. Let's make it to the second round, and if we get lucky, let's make it to the third round. And if we get to the finals, then we was real lucky that year. So yeah.
Exactly. I bleed blue and gold. I bleed it. But unless we change ownership, John, we're not going to spend the money that we want to spend. They're going to look at it. Hey, we don't spend it. Guess what? We're still a little bit in the green that we don't have to. We can spend on other things for the arena or for something.
Right.
Who, you know, I mean, I'm surprised
right.
we spent money on that practice facility. But I know St. Vincent Orthopedics, I know they spent over half of it themselves to build it. So That wasn't all on Simon. But, you know, the guy says he wants to spend, you know, what was he said in the interview? He's like, well, I told Kevin we do whatever we have to do to win it and get to a championship. Well, are you really? I mean, you're hosting the All-Star game in a couple years. That's going to bring a little bit of revenue. But does that mean he's going to take that revenue from that to put towards a team to build them up? I don't think so either.
Man, so you're saying we need Jim Mercer to buy the Pacers, what you're saying?
we need Robert Kraft to buy the Pacers.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's blasphemous. That's blasphemous.
The
oh,
dude
man.
Spends money. What? Okay, Jonathan, what happened when he bought the Patriots? They went nothing but straight up. You want to get somewhere, you got to spend money.
Well, look at Jerry Jones. He spends money, and look what happened.
They were one catch away from the NFC Championship. They got robbed.
What, 2016? They got
robbed. Dez Bryant, that was a catch.
Yeah, and he's unemployed right now, too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be interested to see. It looks like T.O.'s been
really
lobbying.
Really back in. Yeah, I get that. I see the Pacers a little bit differently. I agree all your points. I really want them to bring in a vet, somebody over 22 but under 30 that can really help us get to the second round and the third round and to make. You know, dude, I talk to, you know, people every day, and they say the East is not competitive or the East is weak compared. And I will say the East is not weak. It's just that all the teams out, the top two teams in the West is just, the West is top heavy. If you look at some of the team comparisons, Toronto actually had a winning record. Toronto and a couple other teams had a winning record against the Western Conference contemporaries. And in fact, I want to say, I should have wrote down some of these, but we were supposed to be talking about the draft, not necessarily this past season. Utah Jazz, who actually beat the Golden State Warriors three times out of four this year, right? With Durant in and out of with Durant and Curry in and out of the lineup or whatever, but they beat the Golden State Warriors three out of four times. The Utah Jazz, who everybody lauded over in the playoffs, actually has a losing record against their Eastern contemporary. So, for the people to say, you know, the East is weak, nah, the East has just been dominated by the King
for the last
8 years or so. So, I'd just like to see the East just be a little bit more competitive. That does, you know, where amongst one another. To where, I think my personal opinion it will. If when Kyrie comes back 100%, and so long as he's not talking crazy about when he wants to go to the Knicks or the world's still flat or something like that, and so long as Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying, doesn't do anything more goofier with his roster or Atlanta, you know, there's a lot of teams, you know, the Atlanta and Brooklyn, they're just mismanaged. Orlando's mismanaged. They're not necessarily. You talk about the Pacers not trying to win. These teams ain't even trying to win at all, seemingly on paper.
Right.
But it's funny that, you know, the East is weak, but the top out of the five teams in the lottery, three of them are Western Conference teams. Phoenix,
yeah.
Memphis, Sacramento. You know what I'm saying? So if the East is that weak, then why ain't a whole bunch of teams in the East Conference in the lottery? You know what I mean? In the top part of the lottery. And I know it's a lottery, but heck, you know what I'm saying? Even that's rigged, some people say, right? Not me.
Right.
Go ahead.
Do you feel that you said you want another piece to bring in here to go to that conference semis or the conference finals for Indiana? Do you think Chandler Parsons could be that guy?
I need to see Chandler Parsons MRIs and X-rays and see where his head's at. And if we could absorb his contract, how much would it hurt? I've always been high on Chandler Parsons, even back in Florida. I've been high on Chandler Parsons. And I think when he got his big contract in Houston, if you remember him in Houston, I think a lot of the money went to his head. And maybe he stopped working hard because, like, I there was not, I don't think people were as high on Chandler Parsons as I was when he was coming out of Florida because they thought he was limited. And then when he gets to the NBA, he became extended ball handler, right? And he had an outside shot. He was like their third piece when the Houston team when they had Dwight Howard down there, right?
Right.
I do believe. And then things kind of went south, and, you know, he got traded to Memphis, and, you know, Memphis paid him, overpaid him, and, you know what I'm saying, it didn't turn out for him at all. He got injured, and it hasn't turned out for him at all. So I would really need to see, all jokes aside, I would need to see Chandler Parsons' MRIs, X-rays, and any other doctor, you know what I'm saying, physician's information to see if he can still play and if he's in shape. Because if he ain't in shape and if he can't play, then he can't help us, regardless of him being I don't want Chandler Parsons at 65-70%. I really don't. I want Chandler Parsons at 100%.
Right.
Chandler Parsons might be on his – he might be on his – his. He might be a piece that if somebody bought out his contract, then somehow, some way, he ends up in L.A. And he's playing with LeBron – you know what I'm saying? He's playing like that. That's a possibility. I can see Chandler Parsons – like that.
Yeah.
I really could.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the one guy, this all relies on Thad, what Thad's going to do. If Thad Young doesn't make it or decides not to come back and he goes to greener pastures, aka probably goes somewhere, I don't know, somewhere in the West. If they pick up Aaron Gordon from Orlando, I think that makes them a lot more athletic. I think that could be the player next year. If you just spend on one big supreme guy, it's Aaron Gordon and maybe a couple.
That would get us on ESPN highlight reels every night, wouldn't it?
Yeah, him and Oladipo together again.
Yep.
You know, that's the guy that will help us not long term, but at least for next year to build something. That'd be a good core piece. The guy, he can't shoot outside, which we're not looking for. I mean, Thad could shoot outside. That was what helped us a lot. Thad could stretch out the paint, bringing those stretch fours out there. Aaron Gordon obviously can't do that. He's going to be your 15 and in guy. But, I mean, you sit there, you've got Chandler Parsons, you've got Aaron Gordon, you've got Tobias Harris that's going to be a free agent. You've got next year. I'm looking at some of these next year ones now. Kenneth Faried, another name. Kenneth Faried's name with the Pacers has been around for the last couple of years now.
Yeah, it has been. Correct. Yep.
So I think we can make a move with Denver to probably bring Kenneth Faried in to take the place of Thaddeus Young. So Aaron Gordon and Kenneth Faried are two players I think we could get in. Denver's going to have to look at Kenneth Faried. He's supposed to make $12 million, and then he'll be a free agent. So they may want to try to get some value out of him and make a trade with Indiana. So we'll see.
There's going to be a facelift to the NBA that's going to be jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
Come Thursday.
Now, who was it the other night I saw? It was somebody at 4 a.m. was tweeting out, I don't know where they were at, who the NBA player was, that said that you all are definitely crazy if you don't think that all these big-name free agents and big-time players already have not worked out where they're going to play next season. I thought that was interesting.
Do I believe that's true? That was the big offseason.
Andrew Bogut, that's what it was.
Andrew Bogut, yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think when they go on those vacations that year when LeBron and Dwayne Wade and who else all of them were over in Europe. It was like the week before LeBron was going to announce where he was going, and he broke the news to Wade and Bosch and them over there. I think all these players know where they're going to go, where they're going to end up. They love being courted. And just as much as you and I both would love to be courted. And, you know, hey, you know what? Let's just see what – everybody loves saying, hey, man, this is what we can give you. It's all about you. It's about you. Get that video package rolling and all that stuff. Pumps up your ego a little bit. So I think everybody – absolutely. I say, you remember the time when the Pacers tried to court Lance Stephenson? They put that big old video package for him up on the board and Larry Bird, and then he ended up going to Charlotte?
Yeah, that didn't work out for him at all. I believe guys talk. It's up to the team, though, to make it all still happen. It's up to the teams and general managers and vice presidents to still make it happen, to move contracts and basically tell guys they maybe promise something to that, hey, you're going to be playing in Denver, you'll be playing in Phoenix, or you're going to be playing in Orlando somewhere next year. And it's also for them to, you know, for general managers and vice presidents to go talk to their ownership group and say, hey, well, we're going to be in the higher tax end of the NBA next year, so just prepare. You know what I mean? When you see the chargeback on the rosters that we've been ready to assemble. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'd assume there's a lot of talk, and again, I don't know where to go, dude, because but quite honestly, if LeBron goes, like I said, if LeBron goes to L.A. and he takes Paul George with him and vice versa, then again, they still got to fill out the roster. They got to find a place for Lonzo to go because those two guys are into playing deep into the playoffs, and they're into, like, high-level thinking, man. And I'm not saying Lonzo is on the – and not to put J.R. Smith out like, – not to say they're in the same mental category, but, like, they're trying to play almost air-free basketball.
Right.
I mean, you have to play almost air-free basketball when you play against the Warriors. So, you know, you got a rookie, second-year player now in Lonzo as your starting point guard. Like, I just can't see if LeBron and Paul George have colluded to go to California, to go to the Lakers. I can't see Lonzo playing there. Like, they would be better off trading Lonzo for somebody like Teague, quite honestly.
What if Lonzo, and here's a hypothetical, what if Lonzo just goes down the hall to the other locker room?
To the Clippers?
He stays in L.A. Dad's still happy.
He stays in L.A.
He's still in L.A. The Clippers have enough draft picks. They can get LiAngelo. And you know what? The Balls, they all stay in L.A.
Dude, you're trying to get LiAngelo. You're trying to get LiAngelo to the league somehow, some way. Now, see, Brandon, that poses a very intriguing scenario there. Because now you're saying Magic Johnson would parlay Lonzo's contract for the two draft picks the Clippers have, then that might actually help them get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
that might help them. You could parlay. I know we could parlay those two draft picks and Kuzman's contract or our future, whatever the case may be, right? And
yep.
That might get you Kawhi Leonard. That just might get you Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Rob Pelinka, he's got a lot of work to do.
You'd have to sell.
I've got your brain pretzeled right now with this hypothetical.
Oh man, that's a pretty good scenario there. Paul
I just see
ball.
Him going stays in L.A. He just goes down the hall.
Stay in L.A. Okay.
You know
I
what?
Can see that.
You know what? You can say, and you know he plays for Doc. And you've got those draft picks that you can use as well
God.
To use as bait.
Him and Rivers together? Oh, my goodness.
Well, Rivers is a free agent, so he might not even re-sign with Daddy's team.
He's going to re-sign. Where else is he going to go?
I don't know. But, I mean, you've got Ball and you've got DeAndre Jordan. Hello. You know, the oops
well,
he was throwing to
DeAndre,
Kuzman, he can be throwing those to DeAndre.
You think DeAndre's going to stay with the Clippers?
I think he at least goes one more year, especially if Ball's there, just to see what you – I mean, he's not expecting to win a title or anything.
Yeah, I can't imagine nobody's going to give him any type of max money. Like DeAndre Jordan, I can't see it. Like, they might give you, like, a one-year deal, two-year deal maybe, but, like, nobody's going to give him $100 million for what he does.
The New York Knicks would.
The Knicks need to trade anything that they have other than the unicorn.
Bro, they've got so many contracts that are ridiculous. They've got Joakim Noah's huge deal. They've got here's the problem with the Lakers. The Lakers' first step. Sorry, I'm going back and forth. The Lakers' first step, where they want to get in this LeBron and Paul, they got to figure out Luol Deng and what the hell they're going to do with that huge contract. Because
I thought it was
that
got a buyout. Well, whoever had to trade for would have to buy it out, right?
Correct. I don't know how. I'm looking at that salary right now just to see. This is great radio, as it's boy, he's making $18 million next year. That's a lot on the table. And he signed through 2020. He's got two more years on that deal.
Yeah, he can't play anymore either. Well, he can't play worth $18 million anymore. No.
John, he's the 57th best paid player this year in the NBA. He does not play as a top 60 candidate.
Yeah.
22nd best paid forward, third best player on the Lakers. He is expected to be the highest paid player of the Lakers next season. They got to get rid of him.
Is it against the law to ask somebody to retire?
You know what? If you can somehow manage to get him to Orlando, you get him to Orlando. Let him play down there. Or we're taking him back to Chicago. But all right, John. Any final things for the draft? Oh yeah, I want a question. Who's your bust? You have it every year. There's a bust.
Trae Young.
Oh my God, you read my mind. That's who I'm saying. Trae Young. Bust.
If you take Trae Young, Ty, he's gonna be a bust for you. I would take Trae. I like here's what I'm gonna tell you about Trae Young. Even the great Steve Nash, two-time MVP, sat on the bench for a large portion of his rookie season with the Phoenix Suns, playing behind Kevin Johnson and I do believe Elliot Perry. You know what I mean? A lot of guys get thrown into the fire pits of the NBA like day one just because of lottery picks, and I think they would be well off if they had set for a little bit, learned the game, worked on their game, worked on their bodies, worked on their nutrition, worked on all that, and learned how to become better players. I think Steve Nash learned from two veterans, and then when it was time for him to start, he was ready to go. And, then, you know, once he was ready to go, hell, you couldn't stop him. That's why he was back-to-back MVP. I look at Trae Young the same way, you ready for it, the way I looked at Jimmy Fredette. I saw Jimmy Fredette, hell, he's in China right now averaging 40, okay?
Yeah.
Plus averaging 40 against – averaging 40 in China and averaging, you know, just 10 and 10 or just 10 and 5 in NBA is two different rodeos, right? So,
right.
But day one, they put him out there and said, dude, you got to start. And even though he maybe had NBA range, he just wasn't necessarily NBA ready to deal with an 82-game regular season where you had to play night after night the top-level talent in the world. You know what I mean? And that's the way I would look at Trae Young. I know people hype up Trae Young because he can shoot like Steph, and I know people hype up Trae Young because he can pass and whatnot. But, again, he's only 18, 19 years old, whereas even the great Steve Nash did 4 years at Santa Clara, of all places. And like
right.
I said, when he came into the league, he's the third guard, like me and you were just talking about Jalen Brunson, being the third guard coming off the bench. Okay? So – that's the way I would look at if Trae Young is asked day one to be Steph Curry, he's going to fail. He's going to fall flat on his face. Or if he's asked to start,
right,
he's going to fall flat on his face. So, you know, a lot of times people forget the stories of Steve Nash, of Rasheed Wallace, who started in Washington, or forget about the story Pacer from the 90s that we had.
Travis Best?
Help me out. No, 6'11".
Oh.
He started in Portland.
Oh, shoot.
Jermaine O'Neal. People forget about
Jermaine
O'Neal.
Yeah.
Jermaine O'Neal played in Portland or played for Portland, but he didn't get to play because at that time it was who was in his way. He was a front court player, but at that time he had to wait for it. To get minutes from Brian Grant, to get minutes from Rasheed Wallace, to get minutes from Sabonis.
Brian Grant's
so
almost
learned.
Like your twin, by the way. Brian Grant is like your doppelganger.
Yeah, bro, I wish I had Brian Grant's money.
I hear you. All right, John, well.
Go ahead. But no, that's no, the thing no. Just to be hesitant. The team should just be hesitant about giving the guys balls. Giving guys balls and let them go run with it, like, day one. Because sometimes you might be sending that guy for failure.
Right, and they're not all going to be Steph Curry's. So I think you're going to get one in a million like that.
Correct.
So it's easy to look at it and see what you're seeing now and then say, hey, you know what, this guy, he could be this. It's a great chance you're going to have to take, but, you know, it doesn't always pan out that way. So, but, well, thanks for joining, John. Show's about almost over. Got a few minutes left here before it cuts me out. But we've got the NBA draft this Thursday. We'll see what happens. I will do a Facebook Live after the Pacers pick. Instant reaction, as long as I get off work in time. I'm not sure what that's looking like right now, but
yeah, real life.
Real life work. So I will do an instant reaction there. The next week, me and you will get on here again one of the nights, and we'll recap just what happened on draft night. I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about. So we probably maybe next Monday night, we'll come back on here again, recap the NBA draft, and then that following week, I believe, free agency begins. So I'm sure we'll have some trades and everything to kind of recap from there.
Sounds great, Brandon. It's always a pleasure talking with you, bro.
Absolutely. Thanks, John, and happy draft week. We'll see you next week.
All right, Brandon. Take care.
All right. See you, buddy.
Peace.
All right. That was Jonathan Birnsong, our NBA guru, joining us again, talking our NBA draft and the Pacers and Kawhi Leonard. He is so full of knowledge, the dude. Knows basketball inside and out. I'm well glad to have him on the show. We're going to do a couple quick ads real quick, and then we'll come back, do a few wrap-up things, and get everybody out on their way. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography. Using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. Hey guys, coming downtown for a night on the town, that big sporting event or that concert, be sure to stay at the Omni Severn Hotel, located at 40 West Jackson Place, for your hotel accommodation needs. Look us up at www.omnihotels.com or 1-800-THE-OMNI for your accommodations. While you're there, be sure to check out the 1913 restaurant, The Wine Thief, and the Severn Bar for your entertainment option. All right, guys. Welcome back to the show. Once again, thank you to my guest, Jonathan Birdsong, joining us today talking NBA draft. The preview for this week, we will do a Facebook Live on Crossroads Sports site on Thursday, instant reaction for the Indiana Pacers draft results. Also, next week, we will have a draft recap and trade recap, what we're expecting. Jonathan will be back on with us again next Monday or Tuesday for that nature. So until then, have a great week. Enjoy the NBA draft, and we'll see you guys again next week.
Crossroads Sports.